First of all, you cannot be a believer until you see your old life and the misery thereof and want to change it. You can't be a Christian because it's the new thing to do. You can't do it through coercion where somebody pushes you into doing it. You can't do it for your mother. You can't do it for your grandmother. You can't do it for your wife. You can't do it for your boss. You can't do it because rich people come to this church. You can't do it because pretty women are in this church. You can't do it because it would be a good business move to be connected with this church and you could be exposed in this church. It's not, you can't do it like that. You have to recognize that your old wretched man is miserable and ugly and undone. That your vision is tangled. And that you're wasting time and losing life. And until you see it as misery, you will never be able to change and make the transformation that is necessary to become who God wants you to be. Until one day you spin around in a nightclub someplace and you start recognizing that it's not fun anymore. Until you wake up in a hotel room and you say, you know what? This isn't it for me anymore. Until you see it as misery, you can't change it. Until you look around and you say, I'm sick of putting needles in my arm. Until you see it as misery, you can't change it. Until you look at your bigotry and your hatred of other people and your racism and you say, I'm sick of my own heart. Until you look at the way you hate people and hate them and can't even remember what you were mad about, but you are so unforgiving and you get sick of your own jealous, spiteful, conniving ways, you can't change it. Because all of us don't wrestle against sins of the flesh. Some of us have sins of the heart and mind and character. We don't drink or smoke or chew or run around with them that do, but we are hateful and envious and proud and self-righteous. And till you see it as miserable, you can't change something that you worship. You have to fall out with it and see it as miserable, or you will not be able to change. And even at that point, you're not finished yet. Number two, Reuben, you have to hear the word. Reuben means to hear. You have to hear the word. A lot of people come to church, but they don't hear the word. They're kind of here. Their brain is in neutral. They left their intelligence in the car. They'll pick it up on the way out. They kind of sit here, you know, and they wait on a big bump to happen or a song to be sung or something that they like, but they really don't hear the word of God. They don't let it sink down in their heart. That's why they have no faith, because faith cometh. Oh, I knew you knew your Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do you get faith? You don't get faith by mental telepathy, forcing yourself to envision the future, trying to make yourself believe, thinking pleasant thoughts, picturing waterfalls in your head, seeing yourself walking when you're on crutches. No, none of that will give you faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why does faith have to come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Because when you have God's word on something, That's like God writing you a check. When you have God's word on something and you believe what God has promised you, then you tailor your behavior into alignment with what you believe, and you will have whatever you say. Oh, you don't hear what I'm talking to you about. You just got through shouting about giants do fall, but they're not going to fall because you danced. They're not going to fall because the choir sang that song. They're going to fall because God has given you a promise that even though you don't have a sword and you don't have a shield and you don't have a gun, or you don't have a degree, or you're in the middle of your life, or even if you're tangle-eyed, God has given you a promise. I swear I'm going to bless you. And with nothing but a rag and a rock, you can bring a giant down if you have a promise from God. Oh, look at somebody and say, I got a promise. And when you hear that, when you hear that, when that word gets down in your heart and you hear that, it brings about change. Shout hallelujah. It appears to me that this is a good time to teach on this element. The Bible said the engrafted word of God is able to save your soul. Engrafted, the word that sticks in your soul. That's the only word that you can use. The enemy doesn't mind all the word that flies over your head. That's why he'll try to distract you all while I'm preaching. He'll have you doing something that don't have anything to do with it. You'll be thinking about what you're going to wear to work Monday or where we're going to eat when the service is over, because the enemy knows you can't fight with word that goes over your head. You can only use the engrafted word of God. Can I go into this a little bit more? Think of if you had a skin graft. That is to take skin from one place and put it in another. And you put it there and you hold it there until a natural grafting takes place, so that that was not there before has become one in a place that it did not exist privately. That is the miracle of God's word. When I preach the word, or you study the word, or you read the word, it will take a love you didn't have, a peace you didn't have, a power you didn't have, a confidence you didn't have, and it will graft into your personality. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And even though nobody else in your family is nice, all of a sudden you got niceness coming up in your spirit. Even though you come from four generations of welfare recipients, you're the first millionaire in your house because you grafted prosperity. You took it from the outside. You brought it on the inside. The engrafted word of God is able to save your soul, your habits, your behavior, your appetite. So if you don't see it in your character currently, I want you to understand that if you would get in the word, you can graft into your character things that were not there. Oh, my. Now, engrafting takes a little time. You can't take skin off your thigh and put it on your hand and it graft in a day. It has to graft. It has to connect. It has to become one. It has to fuse together. So you can't just run in here and get a quick blessing and run back out and be who you were. The word has to hover over you and sit on you and become your daily bread and your appetite. It can't just be a place you visit on Sunday. Hearing the word of God is absolutely life-changing. That was their second son. Their third son is Levi. And this is the one I just want to sit on and rest a while. Levi means to be joined, to be connected, to be focused, to be committed. That is something we don't see anymore. Oh, we have the ceremonies. We still have weddings. But people don't get married anymore. I mean, even the people in the wedding, the bride and the groom, we throw rice at them. We give them a certificate, but they don't get married. They move in together. They get the tax deduction, but they're not married. They're not joined together, because the first little wind, the first little storm, the first little problem, the first little weakness, the first little test, they are out of there. They have no root. They have no connectivity. They are not joined. They are not committed. They don't have it in their character to withstand anything. They are only there for convenience. And when they don't see the convenience or the connection, they forsake the responsibility and walk away from their commitment. We seldom see real church members. I've seen people come. If everybody who joined this church came one Sunday, it would kill us. They come down here, they sashay down here, they walk over there, they get all of the stuff, they go through the little orientation, shake the hand, and some of them people, you never see them again. We go through the actions of commitment, but we're not really committed. We're not really connected. We're not really joined. Because we have no understanding, check this, of our responsibility to any relationship. Write this down. You cannot have relationship without reciprocity. You cannot have true relationship without reciprocity. You cannot get into a relationship to get and not give. And I want you to ask yourself, do you give as good as you get? Add up what you're getting and weigh it against what you're giving, and then you will know whether you're really joined to anything. You have people to come to work, they take a job, they're not committed to the job, they want the check. They want the check. Well, everybody wants some money, baby. I'm gonna say it again, everybody wants some money, baby. I'm just here for the check. That's why it's not going to work for you. You don't understand the reciprocity. Anybody wants some money, but if you're not willing to give at least as good as you get, it will not last. And that's why you can't stay anywhere or work for anybody, because you've never had Levi. You may have had Reuben. You might have had Simeon, but you've never been joined to anything. So you collect anniversaries. You've got a lot of birthdays. You've got some plaques on the wall, but you've never been the person that you could be, because the could be is locked up behind commitment, and until you're committed, you'll never get the could be. I'm glad the choir sung "You're Happy." I don't have to worry about preaching "You're Happy." You know what I thought to myself? I thought I would hate to live and die and never know what would happen if I ever committed myself to anything. Some people have never thrown their whole self at nothing, not at school, not at work, not at marriage, not at church. Oh my God, you've had 1 foot in and 1 foot out of every dream all of your life, and you've never seen what you could be if you ever really connected and threw everything. And that's what's going to make your death so sad. That's what's going to make it so sad, is that you never live first. You never fully engage. You never fully studied. You never fully invested in anything or anybody. You want to get something that you are not willing to give. You have never been joined. You just wore the dress, got the plaque, they threw the rice, you joined the church, you took the job, but you've never seen what you could be if you threw your whole self at your dream. You go to this church, but you're not joined. If you don't have reciprocity, you're not joined. If you're not really bought into it, if you don't really feel like it's my church, oh, I come here because I get a word. Reciprocity. What do you give back for what you get? Without reciprocity, no relationship will ever reach its apex, because you're not fully invested in anything you do. So you catch some crumbs that fall from the master's table, but you don't get the children's bread. You get the puppy dog blessing that comes from being in the right place at the right time, because you are not joined into the connectivity that produces the real blessing of God in your life. And you're getting older, and you're running out of time and running out of excuses and running out of people to blame. Wonder what would have happened in school if you'd been committed. Wonder what would have happened in your marriage if you'd been committed. Wonder what would have happened in your church if you'd have really thrown your whole self. You've always been casual and never been committed. And some of the most casual people are talented people, because talented people will lay on their talent and use their talent as a camouflage to cover up their lack of commitment. And because you're talented enough to be able to float by on broken pieces. You will fool an indiscriminate eye into thinking that you are committed. You're not committed, you're just talented. You'll never know what you could have been if you would have really committed yourself. You're just talented enough to get over. And you faked them out. And you've been at 30 or 60-fold when you were created to be a 100-fold person. I just think it would be terrible. I can't be committed to everything. I can't join everything. I can't be married to 1,000 women. I can't work 1,000 jobs. I can't join 5 churches because I take my commitment too seriously to spread it around loosely. It costs too much. I see a lot of people now I like that interest me and intrigue me, and I would like to be friends, but I don't become friends with them because I understand that real friendship is an investment, and there's not any more of me to go around, so we will be nice and we'll be casual acquaintances because I understand real friendship is a commitment. It means I will be there for you. It means I will return your calls. It means I've got your back. It means that I will emotionally, spiritually, financially do whatever I can to undergird you, and I can't do that with everybody. Slap somebody and tell them it's a commitment. It's a commitment. It's more to it than being nice. Stop laying on your talent. I know you're a nice person and people like you, but friendship is a commitment. Your life is a false advertisement. Four color, big glossy ad. Promise and product you don't carry in your inventory. You'd be shocked how many people sitting out there who can really sing, but they're unwilling to make the commitment to make the rehearsals and do what it takes to be up front. And so they sit there on their talent and they won't do for God what they are asking God to do for them. And they wonder why their prayers are not answered. With all due respect, our best singers are not up here. Our most committed singers are up here, but there are people down there sitting in the pew who could sing you into a fit, but they never focus on anything. And they got the nerve to be praying for their career to be discovered, to go somewhere. They're trying to bring the giant down without the commitment. Giants, they do fall. The bigger they come, the harder they fall. Come on, giant. Let's have church. I used to think if somebody had an education, you hired people with a lot of education, you were getting something, not necessarily. I've seen people that had more degrees than a thermometer and couldn't get a job working anywhere, get a career doing anything, couldn't stabilize anywhere. They know how to do everything, but they can't do it. They've got the information, but they don't have the commitment and the character and the tenacity to be an asset. I'd rather hire somebody who had less knowledge and more guts and stamina. In a perfect world, I want somebody who's got both. But if I have to choose, I'd rather have somebody with commitment. Because if you are committed, you can go back to school. You can go back and read. You can go back and get yourself together. But you're going to have all the books you want to. If you don't have commitment, you will not succeed. But instead of having Levi first, we have a generation of people who skip over Levi and try to have Judah. the praising generation, the shouting generation, the generation who goes for inspiration without impartation. Oh, sit there, I'm coming for you. Don't you move, I'll be right on your pew in just a minute. They shout all over the church, but they won't work, they won't give, they won't support. They get married, they want sex, but they don't pay bills. It's gonna be tough in here. Get the babies out, because I'm gonna start a fight. I'm gonna start a fight in here right now. You want all the benefits, but you don't want none of the responsibilities. Yes, it's gonna be a rough ride back home this Sunday. If I was you, I'd just catch the bus. I wouldn't even get in the car. Because if y'all start talking about this, it's going to be some trouble in here. And don't go nowhere, women, because you want a husband, but you don't want to be a wife. You're just a girl who wants a man. You're not a wife. You can't have a man and not change your life. Baby, you can't have a dog and it not change your life. If you bring home a goldfish, it's gonna change your life. How did you think you was gonna get married and talk about, I got to be myself? Then you should have got married. I'm gonna set it off in here this morning. I said I'm gonna set it off in here this morning. Tell three people and say, commitment, commitment, commitment. You take a half-committed man and a half-committed trifling woman and put them together and they'll have some half-committed trifling kids and the whole house will be half-committed because children will be what they see. Stop fussing at your kids. They're a reflection of you. Your whole life is a facade. The whole thing is a fake. The whole thing is a front. Your whole life is a camouflage suit. And now you're getting older and you'll never get to see what you could have been because the cost of getting to see it is a commitment that you've never been willing to pay. You're trying to get somebody to fall in love with a you that you've never discovered yourself. You come to the altar and you raise your hand and you say, Lord, I give myself to you, but you don't. You walk down here and join the church and you say, nah, I'm a member of the church, but you're not. You marry somebody and say, you can count on me. I'll be there through the thick and the thin, for better, for worse, for richer and poor, in sickness and health. You didn't mean it. Half studied, half worked, half labored. And then wonder why I thought I'd be further than I am at the age. Let me tell you why you are not further. It is not the devil. It is not witches. It is not demons. And it sure God ain't haters. You are not any further than where you are right now because you have never thrown your whole self at anything in your life. And you think greatness goes on sale. But true quality never goes on sale. If you don't believe it, go in Fendi. Go in Fendi and ask them, when is the 50% off sale? Go in there to get you a Rolls Royce and start arguing and tell them, I want this down 20%. See if they'll negotiate. The only thing that goes on sale is cheap stuff. The real high quality stuff, it costs what it costs. They're not trying to get somebody average to buy it. You got to have a certain amount of money or you ought not to be in here. Greatness costs what it costs. Oh my God, help me in here today. I feel something about to take over this place. Somebody in this church is ready to receive this word. You're ready to get your breakthrough. My God, I feel a miracle coming in this place today. I wish I had 100 people that would give God a praise. That's why if you're a good man, No, let me change it. If you're a great man, if you're a great man, or if you're a great woman, don't you let nobody drag you down to the bargain basement and put yourself on sale just so that you can have some company in the house. If I'm gonna be lonely, let me be by myself. It's gonna be rough in here this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's wrong for you to think that you're gonna give an offering and God's gonna bless a business you ain't committed to. Bless a marriage you ain't committed to. Bless you in school and you won't study. Bless you as a saint of God and you won't walk like a saint of God. Who do you think God is? Somebody playing in Vegas? God is not hitting a slot machine. God is a guaranteed, definite, I am the mighty God, a sure blessing. He told Abraham, I swear I'm gonna bless you. Ain't no chance, ain't no doubt, ain't no joke about it. If I told you I was gonna bless you, I will open up the windows of heaven. I will if you will. Sit down, I'm just talking. I laugh at the preachers who think that I got where I got just goofing. While they was golfing, I was studying. While they was shooting hoops, I was praying. While they was playing games and sitting up and eating and joking in the restaurant, I was studying. You can't get out of something that you're not willing to put into it. You have to put your everything, your mind, your energy, your effort, your discipline, your tenacity. Nothing is going to jump out the fire. If you don't throw something in there, it's not going to happen. Your lack of commitment. It's killing you. Four areas I want to talk about you need to be committed. I'll listen for you right now. Number one, your first commitment is to God. The God who gave you life, who blew breath into you, has a right to expect a return on his investment above all others. He gave you life. Mama bought you shoes, daddy got you a bicycle. God gave you life. You owe him a level of commitment. You owe him a level of commitment beyond all others. Your God is approached in your spirit, not in your flesh. Your dancing and your jumping and your hooping and your hollering and your clapping does not mean you're committed to God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When your insides are given to God, when your heart is given to God, with my whole heart, Lord, will I follow thee. It's not my hands, my feet, my heart, my spirit, my innermost being is committed to God. I will not face a giant without you. I will not make a major decision without prayer. I will not bring somebody into my life just because they please me. I'll submit myself, my destiny, my future over to you. You are my foundation. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my strength. You are my defense. Without you, I can do nothing. You are the substratum of every dream I have ever dreamed in my life, and I will take no promotion you don't want me to have, and I will accept no friend you don't want me to have. You're my rock. God. The first commitment is to God. Your second commitment is to family. Your second commitment is to family. And it's a very important commitment. It's a very important commitment. You better be committed or you ain't gonna make it. If you can only love me when you like me, we ain't gonna make it. Because sooner or later, I'm gonna pluck your last nerve. And then say, how you like me now? It's to your family. Crazy as they are. If you're not committed, you're not gonna make it. Even the ones with the personalities you don't like. You have to be committed through the storm and the rain and the heartache and the pain and the disappointment. You have to believe in the we and the us and not the me and the you. Or you're not gonna make it. It's a commitment. It's not a feeling. You gotta come home when you in love and you gotta come home when you're not in love. Or you're not gonna make it. And stay there till the love comes back. It's a commitment. Y'all don't want to hear real truth. You want to hear fairy tale, Hollywood, shake and bake stuff. But in reality, it's a commitment. You're my son in my house. You're my son when you took the money. You're my son in the hog pen. You're my son in the whorehouse. You're my son on the road back home. If you die, you're my son. If you're in jail, you're my son. If you're gay, you're my son. If you're a cross-dresser, you're my son. It's a commitment. And if you're not gonna be committed, you don't need no kids. You're my son on crack. You're my son in prison. If you join the Nation of Islam, you're still my son. If you can't eat the ribs, come on, get some potato salad. Mama cooked you something. You're still my son, even when your decisions are not the ones that I would have wanted you to make. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. Commitments don't have nothing to do with your feelings. You do it because you're supposed to. And stop expecting to be rewarded for what you're supposed to do anyway. Stop bragging about how you brought your money home. You were supposed to. Stop bragging about how you took care of me. You're supposed to take care of me. It's a commitment. This ain't a date. This is a commitment. We have passed the stage of dating. We made a commitment. That's why they said, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. The preacher knew that at least one of us was going to be crazy. He was warning you from the beginning. It's a commitment. You picked out that crazy man. You chose that crazy woman. Shut up. Did nobody put her on you? You wouldn't rest till you got her. Now shut up. You wouldn't listen at nobody. Everybody tried to tell you. People tried to warn you. No, no, no. I just gotta have him. Well, now you got him. Shut up.
It's a commitment. I changed your diapers because I'm supposed to. You threw up on me. You're supposed to throw up on me. I didn't do you no favor. That's my job, to clean up your vomit and everything else that comes out of you when you're a child. So then when I turn around and get old, don't you throw me away and not come visit me and take care of me. It's reciprocity. If I wiped your hind end, you ought to be prepared. No, ain't nobody teaching this stuff. Somebody has got to arrest this crazy generation that wants to take everything and give back nothing.
Commitment to God. Number two, commitment to family. Number three, commitment to your church. I've never seen anything like this generation today. They don't commit to anything at all. You're lucky if you see them again after they joined. And if you do see them, it's only going to be on Sundays. And don't talk too long because they got to go. Forget Sunday night. Wednesday night's out of the question. We'll hear about the revival next Sunday. We sacrifice nothing for our church. We will serve nowhere. And yet, is Bishop preaching? Yeah, is Bishop preaching? Because it's all about what I can get and nothing about what I can give. And if I think I'm not going to get what I expect to get, I won't even show up because I have a gimme mentality. I never came to give. Oh, I lost y'all on that. I lost the whole house on that. Because you consider with great contemplation where you can go to be fed, that's good. But where's the reciprocity? What do you give for all that you got? Any relationship that does not have reciprocity will not last. If I'm always the one giving and always the one sacrificing, always the one pushing myself over the limit to be there for you, and I don't see that in return, eventually my patience will wither, my hope will die, and I will give up. I told you I was going to meet you at the picnic. I came to the picnic after being in New York, speaking at TBN on Thursday. Speaking in New Jersey on Friday, the only way for me to get back in time for the picnic was to fly through the night. I got in the house around 2. I laid down around 3:30. I fell asleep about 5:30, and I got up and went to the picnic. Isn't it funny how people will hop planes and drive miles to get to people who won't come across the street to get to them? How long can you maintain any relationship without reciprocity? Why put on a good program for people who don't come? Why should the choir get here at 5 in the morning and 6 in the morning and set up the sound for people who are coming in at 10:30? Why is it that some of our best givers never give, and our best singers never sing, our best workers will not work, and some of our greatest people are sitting out there always sucking it up? And find no area of service out of 150 ministries, not one of them fits you? Oh, giants, they do fall, the bigger they are. The harder they fall. Come on, let's answer it. Any relationship that has no real reciprocity will die. Strong people will keep giving to you a long time. Eventually, when they don't see it coming back in similar capacity, they will eventually become convinced that the investment does not warrant a return. I tell you before you lose again, if you don't learn to give like you learn to get, every area that there is not reciprocity, it will die.
If I had time, I'd take you all through the ecological system. It's not just biblical, it's ecological, it's science, it's everything. Anything that takes more than it gives will eventually destroy the soil. I would show you how God commanded the farmer to let the ground rest, because you have to put something back in something that you're taking something out of. See, somebody has never taught you how to give. They teach you how to take. Are you demanding more of your God or of your family or of your church than you give? Because any area that you expect more than you invest, you will live in a perpetual state of disappointment. You walked into here, the building was up, the lights was on, the sound system was in. Many of you missed the blood and sweat and tears. You walked in here when the work was over, you have no appreciation for the investment in it. And you don't understand sacrifice because you're reaping where you have not sown. So your God, your family, your church, what does your church get from you other than, you know, you show up sometime? What do they get? What does the church get? What can we count on you for? What can we count on you for? What can we expect from you? 16 years. I want you to get this fourth one. The devil don't want you to get it, but I'm going to make sure you get it. You're committed to God. Number two, you're committed to your family. We're going to get through this. That should be the language you approach your family with. We will get through this. We may have to bunk up. We may have to move in together. We may have to put our backs up against each other. We may have to both get part-time jobs. We may have to come out sideways, but we will get through this. When you get me, you get help. If I walk in the room, help came in the room. I'm gonna add something to you. I'm gonna add something to you. I'm gonna add something to you. I will not take something from you unless I add something to you. I will be an asset and not a liability. If I stay in your house, you're gonna miss me when I leave. I'm gonna add something to you. I'm not gonna take something from you. If I join your church, you're gonna feel the impact that something has been added to you. The only number that doesn't add to the sum total of the equation is a zero. What do people get when they get you? If you can describe it, define it, and deliver on it, you'll never be without. Everybody wants an asset. Liabilities get left behind. Number four, commitment to your dream. You cannot get people to believe in your dream until you believe in it yourself. Stop asking people to invest in things where you have no investment. Stop asking people to deliver something to you where you're not willing to go to the wire for yourself. Nobody's going to put into your dream before you put in. You have to invest in what you dream for. Hallelujah to God. A golf club is just a golf club. You can pay $500 or $5,000 for it. It's just a golf club until you put it into the hands of Tiger Woods. When you put it into the hands of Tiger Woods, the value shoots up. It's the same set of clubs. All you added was commitment. When you get it in the hands of somebody who is committed to a dream, who's been working when they was five and swinging when they were six and swinging when they were nine and swinging when they were 12, oh yes, you're going to get a great return because there is a great investment. Do you have anything that you're dreaming that you're willing to be committed to enough to see it happen? Or are you throwing pennies in the wishing well of life, wanting to receive on credit something that you're not willing to pay for? You must be committed to your dream. Oh, hallelujah. I'm scared to talk about it because I believe it so bad. You ought to see my toes are dancing in my shoes. Glory to God. I don't have no hair on my head, but my hair on my chin is jerking over this right now. I have never met anybody who became incredibly successful in any area of their life until they had suffered and sweated and sacrificed and kept their focus and fought through tears and trials and tests. And if you have a dream and you commit to it, it will come to pass. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Hallelujah. Slap somebody and tell them it will happen. It may take me longer. I may have to take night classes. I may have to start the business in my house, but it will happen. Oh my God, he's not just Alpha, he's also Omega. He's not just the beginning, he's also the end. If God started it, he will finish it. Shout yes.
Committed to your dream. Yes, committed to your dream. Anybody can dream it, but you'll never see it until you're willing to be committed to it. I was telling somebody the other day, when I didn't have anything, church didn't have any members, I'd get off work, working at Carby, and drive up the road and work on the church till I had to turn around and go back to work. We worked when we didn't have food. We worked when we didn't have lights. I was putting my whole check in the offering, all of it, trying to keep it going. When I finally got some staff, I went on the road preaching. And whatever I made on the road preaching, I brought it home to make the payroll of the staff. And sometimes I got them paid and couldn't pay me. Commitments, looked like a fool. Didn't have any clothes. Suits was falling off me. Lining wore out my clothes. Couldn't send them to the cleaners. Had to wash my suit in the washing machine. They laughed at me. Looked like an old raggedy country preacher. I had holes in my shoes. I couldn't kneel down. I couldn't kneel down and pray, because if I knelt down to pray, they would see holes in my shoes. They laughed at me. They said, that boy's lost his mind. He'll never be nothing. He stutters. He's got a lisp when he speaks. He'll never be a preacher. I don't care what you say. If you are committed to what you believe. Somebody holler, commitment.
Stand to your feet.
Woo.
I wish you would. You'll never, never, never bring down somebody who is committed. Because somebody who has really been committed has been down before they ever got up. Yeah. You can't scare me off with trouble. I started in trouble. I grew up with dirt up under my fingernail. I'm used to folk not liking me. I'll fight for myself. Hallelujah. Commitment. Do you believe anything bad enough to fight for it and sweat for it and work for it?
Or you just want somebody to hand you something because you want it? You must be out of your mind. So the Lord said to me, talk to my people. Shadabuhoshe. About commitment. Levi means join. And the Levi
made some mistakes. Levi got in trouble. And one time, Jacob even cursed Levi and said he would never be nothing. But Levi kept right on going. And it didn't look like Levi was going to turn out to be much until Moses went up on the mountain. And while Moses was on the mountaintop, Aaron led the children of Israel into dancing naked around the calf. And Moses came down off the mountaintop, and all of Israel was in a mess. And Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Simeon didn't say nothing. Reuben didn't say anything. Dan didn't say anything. Gad didn't say anything. Naphtali didn't say anything. But here come old Levi. Levi said, I am on the Lord's side. Every curse was broken. Every chain fell off. Every bondage came off of him. Levi was committed. Come hell or high water, I'm committed. God blessed him because he never gave up. Never gave up. Never gave up. Jump on me right now. Beat me all over this church. Go home bragging about how you whipped my behind. But don't forget you're going to have to whip it tomorrow because we're going to fight again. You ain't got to be bad. You ain't got to be talented. Just be committed. If we fight every day, one of them days is going to be my day. Don't say nothing on Thursday when I'm kicking you all around this place. Because it's my turn to be on top. Because I was committed. Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. He said, if you pay your dues, I swear I'll bless you. But you have no right to expect a crown when you avoided the cross. No crown, no cross, no cross. No crown. They go together. Join hands with somebody. I don't know what this, maybe it meant nothing to you. But God said to me, I want commitment from my people.